Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. We give everyone a warm welcome and our service this evening. And it was so good to have our brother John here this morning and share what the Lord's done for him. We really appreciated it. And appreciate God's mercy and God's grace. Want to pray for Brother Laurie tonight. I forgot this morning. But I want to pray for Brother Laurie this evening. If we could turn to Revelations 12, verse 10 and 11. And I want to continue on with these 52 Bible truths on salvation. I don't know if we'll get finished tonight or not. And there's no service Thursday night. And then next Sunday morning, Brother Gary will be preaching. I'll be here, but with things been busy and everything, I thought it'd be better if one of the brothers preach. Or Brother Gary's going to be preaching next Sunday morning. And then, well, I'll be here anyhow, but in the evening I'll be back. And with different people coming over and things for the wedding. And appreciate everyone that's sent Hannah a card and a gift. And Hannah wants to tell everybody she really appreciates it. And wants to thank everyone that did send a card or a wee gift. It's all appreciated. And just pray for them. Pray for them. That they'll come to know the Lord. And that they'll get saved. That's the main thing, isn't it? And Hannah was baptized. She did get saved as a young girl. She got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But you got away from the things of God. And growing up, sometimes your children don't do what you want them to do. And the more you try and make them do it, they'll go the harder the opposite way. I've done it myself, so I know by experience. Now, they don't all do that, and that doesn't mean that you don't bring them up in the right way. You do. You do bring them up while they're under your roof, they're under your jurisdiction. But we've done our best, but Hannah had different ideas with different things. I tried to tell her, she didn't listen. But God intervened in one of them situations, and I was praying about it, and I'm glad he did intervene, because I might have been in jail if he hadn't, if I'll be honest with you, just be truthful with you. And I'm glad he intervened, and I'm glad you met Nathan. And you know, when you did meet Nathan, and he went down to my dad's one night, and of course, my dad, I was winding him up, because my dad thought a lot of our Hannah. She liked the farming and all, and he thought Hannah was great. He said she was as good as two men. That's what he used to tell me. He says, you think? Because she's a wee skinny girl, but he says she's as good as two men. She wouldn't see two fellas for the work she'd do. But I stand to ridicule him, tell her to hear what he would say, he say. And he gave me a good time. God, you leave her alone, he says. She'll come all right. And you see that fella that she's met now, she'll marry him. Well, they're getting married on Thursday. And my dad was right. Wisdom. See, I don't have any grey hair. I have a couple, brother. But you don't worry about that. But the Lord's good, isn't he? But I want you just to keep praying for them. That, you know, some of us have children. Maybe they get saved and they've gotten away from the Lord. But God hasn't gotten away from them, really. And he still loves them. And I pray for them all each morning. And we just believe in God's going to turn them all around. Let's read Revelations 12, verse 10 to 11 as an opening scripture. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Let's bow our heads tonight. We're going to pray for Brother Laurie. And if you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. And the Lord's answered prayer for me and Sharna right in the day. And we appreciate it. And we just thank the Lord for his goodness. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your blessings, for your goodness. Most of all, we thank you for the cross. And for the man Christ Jesus, and for the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God, that washes us and cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Lord, tonight I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will undertake for me. I lift before you, Brother Laurie, tonight. I pray you'll touch him. I pray you'll minister on him. Lord, we love him. We appreciate him. We want you to strengthen him and raise him up. Bring him amongst us again. In Jesus' precious name we're asking it. We're asking for your mercy and your touch upon him. For the hands raised this evening, you know every need. We pray you'll answer prayer and meet every need. Prosper and bless spiritually, physically and financially in Jesus Christ's name. And for all our children that's here and maybe a lot that's not here, we claim every one of them under the token in Jesus Christ's name tonight. And we ask that every one of us saved. And you'll deal with them, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your word to their hearts. Minister to us for a time tonight. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. I thank you for Brother John that he was here this morning and well. Lord, how we're thankful for your mercy. And even for Aaron this week, things could have been different. But we praise you, the unseen hand of the mighty Jehovah. How we bless you this evening. And we'll say we'll love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Because you first loved us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody's telling me it's on the news today. But Newton Archibald's cordoned off and they're going to try and blow that bomb up. The army's in and they're trying to blow it up or whatever they do with it. There's a fella actually rang me today and he had heard about it. And he said it was on the news today. So we just thank the Lord for his mercy and Clive Nelson that he said stop. And we just thank the Lord for that. And even when John told his testimony this morning, he said an intelligence greater than his told him to keep his head forward. And I'll tell you, wasn't it a good job he did? God knows the end from the beginning. There's no mistakes with God. There's things we can't explain. And especially as a preacher, there's things happen and you don't know why they happen. And you just have to commit it all to the Lord. Praise God. Also, just to tell you, in case some of you said, no, Keith Mulkerson's getting married again. Brother Keith Mulkerson from Limerick. He's met a woman, a Christian woman. She was friends with him and his previous wife. We know he was widowed there a couple of years ago. And they've met and they're getting married. And I think it's November time. And so just pray for Brother Keith and everyone's happy for him. And just pray that the Lord will continue to use him and bless him. He's been away in America preaching and stuff, and he goes around preaching different places. I'll tell you Keith's testimony. I wanted to try and get him here to give it some testimony. He was in the Falkland War, you know, and people were killed beside him. And he was engaged to a young woman, and she was tragically lost her life. It's almost a bit like the story of Joseph Scriven. And then that girl moved from South Africa to Dublin, and I don't want to say they were old, but they weren't teenagers. And Keith was doing meetings and she got saved. And then the Lord just brought them together. It's wonderful how it all happened. And then the way everything went and everything, but only the Lord knows, doesn't it? And we just thank the God for his mercy. Praise God. This simple faith, what I want to talk about, Christ, was practically extinguished back in the time of Luther. The ecclesiastical, political, religious realms, churches at that time, had it that you couldn't have a Bible, that you didn't know about salvation, that you were kept in the dark. And Martin Luther's Reformation in 1517 was a principle, a revolt against state and church and denomination. And a challenge to all that profess Christianity and profess to be believers to examine the scriptures for themselves. And you know, Jesus says, examine the word of God, for in them is the words of eternal life. We are to examine scripture. And they were to examine scripture as someone that had been forbidden by the church pontiffs for centuries. Now they were challenged by Luther to examine it. And people then rediscovered the scriptures for themselves, for reading them. And the faith brought them to salvation. And that faith was created in many hearts and began. Many people at that time began to experience the reality of simple salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, which changed their lives. And I want to say, even though this is 2024, and this was 1517, that truth that God gave to Martin Luther still remains a truth. And that revelation that God gave to Martin Luther still is good. It can't change. God could show other things, but that part cannot be changed. And you're saved the same way now that Martin Luther was saved then. And God does not bring in a better way of being saved or a new program. The prophet of God said God never changes his mind about his word. He just adds on till what he's given. He never diminishes it. He adds on till. Same with the gifts. He never took the gifts out of the church. He just keeps adding on. Now we know we're living in the last days and God's revealed many wonderful things to us. Maybe things Martin Luther didn't know about. But we still appreciate what Martin Luther had. And we absolutely believe he was a messenger sent from God. A true man of God. One of the seven church age messengers, to be specific, was Martin Luther. And I really think a lot of Martin Luther, and I haven't maybe read enough of his stuff, and I have a lot of his stuff, and I haven't maybe read enough of it. But the bit that blesses me was the darkness he was in. None of the rest of them that I can read of were in the darkness he was in. He was in the deep depths of popery and Romanism. In the darkest darkness of it. A monk of the Augustine order, and God mightily moved him. And that man got saved on that simple scripture, the just shall live by faith. And these are the truths that God gave him. And you see, at that time then, being a Christian no longer was a formal affiliation with an ecclesiastical order called the church, but it was once again a living, vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the 33rd truth, and there's 52 of them, and you could go for more, but I'm taking these from what they had then, the 52 principal truths on salvation. This is what they are. We know it is Christ who faithfully helps us in temptation. And Martin Luther knew that as a truth, that it was the Lord that helped him in temptation. And for me and you, when we're saved, we are not excluded from temptation. You'll maybe even be tempted more. But the Lord keeps you in temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. And I'm a great believer on that we are to acknowledge the Lord and we are to commit our ways unto the Lord. You see, you can't resist the devil if you don't acknowledge the Lord. To resist the devil, you must first commit your way to the Lord and acknowledge the Lord. Because you cannot do it of your own self. You need the Lord. But if you commit it to the Lord will help you overcome all the enemy throws at you. 34, we know there's no weapon Satan can resist us with. And we read that because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony overcame him. You know, isn't it so true? And I often say it, but it's the truth. The devil loves sermons that there's no blood preached in. And he loves sermons that's not Christ-centered. And a sermon that's not Christ-centered, to me, is not a sermon. It's just some talk. A sermon must be Christ-centered. It has to be about the Lord we're preaching about. The disciples preached Christ and him crucified. Philip went up to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The book of Romans says, whosoever believeth in the name of the Lord shall be saved. All the Gospels and all the Bible is Christ-centered. And I tell you, this is how we can overcome the devil. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. 35, we know Satan cannot win over faith. He can't win over faith. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfastly in the faith. So it's in the faith you have to resist him, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it is through faith in Christ that we can overcome the devil. It's not through anything else. We can't overcome him by a new revelation. We can't overcome him by church membership. We can't overcome him because we belong to some fancy group, even if it's a good group. None of that will overcome the devil. But when we put our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, that's what overcomes the devil. Faith. Faith. And you know, faith can move a mountain. And without faith, Hebrews says, it's impossible to please God. Now the devil could say, I don't have any faith. Well, Romans says to every one of us, it's given a measure of faith. So every one of us tonight has been given a measure of faith. James 4, 7 and 8 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the secret to resisting the devil is committing your way to God. Now I remember one day God really showed me this scripture. You cannot resist him if you don't fully submit to God. If we have things in our lives that are not submitted to God, and the devil gets in, that's our own fault. If we have a problem, we need to submit it to the Lord. Whatever it is, we submit it to the Lord, then the Lord will give us the power to overcome the devil. Amen. Before you're saved, you didn't have that. The devil overcame all of us in every circumstance. But now that you're saved, God's given you an overcomer within you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. 1 John 5:18 says this, we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. Now this is some scripture, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So once you're born again, your sins is gone. When you're born again, they're gone. But before you're born again, you're living in sin. You're a sinner by nature, a sinner by birth. But once you're born again, your sins are gone. They're removed by the blood. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never commit a sin as a Christian. You will. All of us could slip up and do something we shouldn't do, or look at something or say something, or offend a brother or sister. But the blood of Jesus lays there for us. But we don't willfully go out tonight to sin like we used to do we? We don't say, well, we're going to go do something tonight that we know's wrong. We don't do that because we're saved, we're believers. 36, we know our faith in Christ is the victory. And that is the real victory, our faith in Christ. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So what overcomes the world? Every person that's born of God can overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when you're born of God, you can overcome the world. And we know the devil's the prince of this world, isn't he? But we can overcome it when we're born of God. 37, we know not to love the world, but to do God's will. 1 John 2, verse 15, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God's not even in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doth the will of God abideth forever. See, the heavens and earth are preserved by God, but they're going to pass away. Now, there's a lot of people in the saving Mother Earth, and I don't even agree with that phrase myself, I'll be honest with you. Mother Earth, I don't agree with that phrase. That's a sort of a new age phrase, or whatever you want to call it. I don't agree with anyhow. Save Mother Earth. Mother Earth's getting burned. The Earth's getting burned. So you can save all you want. You can have all these boys floating around on their built-in engines that don't burn diesel and all this nonsense they're doing. And they're going to save the Earth. Oh, that's pure piffle. Because God's burning this Earth. It's absolute nonsense. And all this business of electric cars and all coming in, and it's all coming in, we know it is. But it's all nonsense. It will not save the earth. Because there's other things they're doing which could be worse than what they're talking against. And any of that lunatic, there's a lunatic over there, I can't remember where she's from, she's a wee girl, that her parents didn't know to take down to the stage by the ear. And that's, I'm not apologizing for that, that's the truth. And she's up squealing, how dare you! How dare you? And she's talking about people ruining the earth. And then she steps out of one of these big vehicles and all. She was caught out. Absolutely caught out. She's a fraud. But somebody's paying her. And you see, these things that show to the public, it appeals to your senses. That a wee girl's grinning and crying, and it appeals to your senses. The poor, same with Israel. The news has them on. The poor Palestinians and all them and so on. And they've wiped hundreds of houses out, and they've done this and they've done that. And no doubt Israel has blown a lot of them up. But who started it? Who was it attacked Israel when they were sleeping? Who was it that crept in? Who started it? And not tell that part of it, and not tell the badness that's going on behind the scenes. And I'm going to tell you one thing about America tonight, and you better listen to this. They'll not be anywhere unless there's a bit of oil to be found. And if there's a wee bit of oil to be found, they'll have their nose in it. And if there's no oil to be found, they'll be well back out of the road of it. You don't see America running into Russia to sort that war out. They're keeping well clear of it, aren't they? But that's politics for you. But I'm telling you, the earth's going to be burnt. But our faith will remain in God. Because God's going to have a new earth. John says, "I behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven above." God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And she's had her baptism of water. She's going to have her baptism of fire. And God's going to make a new earth. You know, those people don't even believe the world was flooded. They think a few valleys was flooded. They have all these ideas. But we believe the world was flooded, don't we? We believe it with all of our hearts. And we believe the word of God. 38, we know Jesus Christ came to defeat our enemy. 1 John 3 verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So all that the devil's in charge of and all that the devil's in control of is going to come to an end. And the government, the world's government, I'm not talking about any particular group. There's good people everywhere, we know that. But universally, the government's controlled by Satan. We know that. The God of this evil age, look how we're living. I don't believe we're meant to live in the pressure cooker lifestyle that we're, most of us are in. But that's the devil. But there's a day coming when we'll lay back all under our own vine. That's what the Bible says. And the lion will lie with the lamb, the millennium. That's going to be totally different than the way we are now. And you have to get up at so many hours and go to work and all these different things. It's all pressure. And I know years ago people worked hard, but there wasn't the pressure then that there is now. And years ago you could make something of it. But you can't do that no more. What young man in the day, starting with nothing, could work himself up to where he could buy a farm or do something? It would be hard to do it, wouldn't it? But years ago, you could have done it. Satan's controlling this world we're living in. And I've seen an interesting thing a brother put up on one of them sites during the week. You get out of bed in the morning to go to a job that's taxed. You drive a car that's taxed. If you have a television, you're taxed for having it. If we don't drink, but if you were going into the pub for a pint, two-thirds of it's taxed. Fags are taxed. Everything's taxed. The fags are not taxed to make this world healthier. Neither is the beer taxed to make it healthier. Don't you believe that for 1 minute. It's taxed to make fat men cats, is the word. Where's fat cats fatter? It's all greed. And you think of the many billions and trillions they're overturning financially in the world today, and they can't get enough. Isn't that right? And we're taxed on everything. But there's a day coming when there'll be none of that. There'll be none of it. Amen. 39, we know when we truly have Christ in us, Satan is no match for that. He's no match when you've truly Christ. Satan's no match for that. Colossians 1 verse 27, to whom God would make known that is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have a hope in you tonight. I have a hope in me tonight that the world hasn't got. Like our brother Gary mentioned at the end of the service this morning, think of the men and women. And you know, when you think if you're separated from people and you could lose them here on earth, But you think of the people for eternity that go out into eternity that's not saved. And they'll go to a place called hell. It was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels. And they're suffering there. And they can't come out of that to whatever time God decides is the end. And I don't know how long that'll be. There's a lot of different scriptures on it. But it's a long time. And what about the people that's already in there that's died years ago that never got saved? And here's a wee country, I'll have no excuse because the gospel's preached here. Probably more than anywhere else you know of. It's preached. And you think, now I don't want to get off on track this evening, but I'm being honest with you. There's a fellow there was preaching in England, I think it was. And he was preaching and they arrested him. And then you had an Isle Muslim up and they do like an Isle sort of a half song. Now, if I'm mocking them, so be it. Not worry me one bit of harm. I'm telling you the truth. They have certain man they pick and he has a special voice. And they pay him. And he howls out in the morning. When I was in Malawi, I was waking him every morning. Wish you could have got a howl of him. He wakened me about 5 every morning. He was howling and rowling. And he howls out. And he's not like a lot of the wee Christians, you know. Oh, praise the Lord. You wouldn't hear it on the newspaper. He's the big microphone that goes over the whole town. And here in England, they had them. And he's doing his thing in England, up on a bridge somewhere, with all these big microphones. The police are standing like this. He's a great lad, isn't he? There's a wee man preaching with a wee testament that night, and they're arresting him. The wee testament scared the life clean out of him. Imagine if he had a big Bible, what would happen? He'd only a wee testament. And he's afraid of the wee testament. You see, one scripture's more powerful than all that waffle he has. You see, he's serving a man that's in the grave. His master's dead. He's in the grave. The worms has eaten him. His bones is bleached. But the one we serve's risen from the dead. And the psalmist David said, I'll not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer my holy one to see corruption. He's risen tonight. He's not in the grave. That's the Lord we're serving. But in a country called Great Britain, they stop a man and arrest him for preaching. But the like of that's all right. That's what it's got to. And then they're wondering why there's all the trouble taking place. There'll be more trouble. Don't you think there won't? There'll be more. That's only a snowdrop to what'll happen. People won't stand for it. How will they? It's going to happen. But God can bring them out, can't he? 2 Corinthians 6:16-18 says this. And that agreement. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? We've no agreement with them. For ye are the temple of the living God, as hath said God, I will dwell in you and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't it wonderful when you hear a testimony, and I know one of the officers, a fellow on there, I think he was Muslim, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him in a dream, and he got saved. Isn't that wonderful? God can save any of them. I believe that with all my heart. And there is some good people from different parts of the world and places. I'm not knocking anybody. But I'm telling you, that's what Great Britain's come to. And over here in Rich Hill, there's a school that has the cat litter trash in Rich Hill. And that's just beside us. And if somebody wanted to come into the school to talk about the Bible, they'd bump in arms, wouldn't it? That's the age we're living in. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have somebody great in you and with you. I want you to realize that tonight somebody's great that's with you, and somebody's great that's in you. And the world doesn't have him. The world doesn't know him, so they don't have him. Now they can have him, but they must receive him. But if they don't receive him, they don't have him. Number 40. We know our new life source is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your life source tonight? Your life source is not a church. Your life source is Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm always blessed when I think of my mom got me the book some years ago of Leslie Hale. And it's Leslie Hale's life story. And Leslie Hale, there's a woman used to come and pay his bills at the end of the month. She was dressed in black. And he had an office to keep, he had people to pay. He was running a Bible college and a school and different things. He's running, he needed a lot of money. And it always ran late each month to where he was almost panicking and praying, Lord, you know, I'm getting it tight here. And this woman would appear, and every time they tell him, you've just missed her. You've missed her, Leslie. She's just went out the door, and she was dressed in black. And this month, she never appeared. And he was fasting and praying, and he was talking to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said, that woman in black's not your source. I am. I'm your source. And you see, Jesus Christ tonight's our source. Now, God could use the woman dressed in black or any color, and just because that's the way the testimony said about her, that's why I'm saying it. God can use somebody, but God's our source. Isn't that right? The Lord could bless you and use somebody to do it, but God is your source. God is my source. Aren't you glad he is tonight? He's an unlimited source, isn't he? Praise God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is our source, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's how we're living. We're living by Christ tonight. 41. We know that our new life has divine purpose. Our new life has divine purpose. We're not just going through the motions. It has a divine purpose. God has a purpose. God has a calling. Now, God spared a brother John because God's a purpose to do that. God's a reason to do that. His work's not finished. There's something for him to do. And you can't explain that, and I can't explain it, but God does it. And God's a purpose for you and a purpose for me and every one of us. Everything works together for good to them that love and serve the Lord. Even though we can't understand it, that's the truth of it. Amen. Psalms 37 says this, verse 23 to 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So the Lord's with us, the Lord's a purpose for us, and the Lord's holding us. 42. We know that God sees us and hears us. He sees us and hears us. 1 Peter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ear is open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So many times we think the evildoer's getting away with it, the evildoer's getting away with it. I'm going through a hard time, but there's a day of judgment coming for them that's not coming for you and me. Where our judgment's on the reward, what we have done in a way of reward, a crown. We're going to receive a crown, do you realize that? Which a righteous judge himself will give us. We're not going to have a judgment of condemnation we can't have. According to Romans 8 and 1, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, but there is for the Christ rejecter. Him that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God, God's judgment's on him. The 43 tells us, he invites us to call upon him. Jeremiah 33 and 3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You could look at Luke 11 as well, where we ask the Lord and we call upon the Lord and the Lord will answer us. And God asks us to call on him. These are the truths that Martin Luther had in 1517. And they're still true tonight. They're still real tonight. 44, we know when we pray, the Lord will answer. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Sometimes we need patience, don't we, when we're praying? I do. I want to see it done. Sometimes God doesn't maybe do it as quick as I want it done, but he still does it. And we have to have patience sometimes. And it mightn't work out the way we think, but then God's going to give us better than we think. He'll not underdo us. He'll give us greater, better. But we have to have the patience. 45. We know that we belong to the royal family of God. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth his praises unto him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if ever a man was brought out of darkness, it was Luther. Luther was in darkness. We're blessed. Let's be honest about it. We could go back in our childhood, and I could go back in my childhood, my mom and dad sent me to Sunday school somewhere. A man going to the Methodist, and the Methodist minister said one Sunday, we're all Catholics. And I said, I'm no Catholic. And up I got, and I come out, and I tell my dad, and my dad says, don't go back. Then he sent us to 3 P's after that. And that was better for they were Protestants. They believed in Protestantism. We left the Methodists and we joined the 3 P's. And we heard about getting saved. No matter what you can say about it, you heard you needed to be saved. The wee brethren used to go through to Moor, and the old man, Graham himself, used to have a wee bus, and he'd lift you and you got a penny chew. And many a young lad would tell you he went for the penny chew. And them penny chews were big chews, boys. They were queer chews, boy, you could hear at them. But you'd have got the penny chew and maybe a couple of chews if you're good. And they took you out the wee hall there at Ashfield. It was no size. But the bus was full. And you went out and you got your penny chews and they told you the gospel story how Jesus loves you and died on the cross for you. Simple but absolutely profound and absolutely true. Now I'm going to tell you that's a work that people underestimate. And I'm going to tell you this something this evening, and people can hear this and think what they want. You can ring me or question many time on it. The Message churches have failed in that part. Failed badly. They don't do no vision. There's no vision for that. But I'm glad there's places that have a vision. And you know, when we lived in Hawthorne Walk or Maypole Park as well, and Glamour, I guarantee they do it in Ballbridge as well. And the guarantee is you all could tell me in Scarborough they've done it, and St. Patrick they've done it. Some couple will have a vision where they do a wee thing for children every summer. And they'll have a wee talk on the garden somewhere. And they'll invite all the children round and they'll maybe give them a wee something. And they'll come round and they'll share with them the gospel. Now the people that do that, we should be praying for them. That's a great work. That's the work that sows the early seed. And the early seed does something. And I tell you, I thank God for the early seeds were sown in me as a young man. And many a time I wanted to get saved and thought about getting saved. And then I went along to the brethren. And then I heard the gospel preached. And then God really moved on me. But it all built up as word and word. And I thank God for people with a vision like that. And you see, I get offended. I'm going to be honest with you. I get offended when some smart aleck says that all they do is preach a simple gospel. Well, what are they doing? Are they preaching a difficult gospel? Are they preaching a difficult one? Because as far as I know, it's simple. And the Lord made it simple. Isn't that the truth? Praise God for a simple gospel. Thank God for Jesus says, you had to come as a child or you'll not get in. So we know that Christ, you know that we belong to him and he belongs to us. Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. This is 46. We know that all that Christ has now belongs to us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of self birth witness with our spirit, excuse me, that we are the sons of God and of children, then heirs with God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that wonderful that we're heirs with him tonight? We belong to him. And he's with us. 47, we know that we have his very life in our flesh. He's in us. 2 Corinthians 4 and 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. He's changed us. People say he's not in your flesh. He has to be. If he wasn't in your flesh, you'd still be living like the devil, wouldn't you? But you're not. The Lord's moved in your flesh. He's moved on you. He's moved on me anyway. Do you believe he's moved on you? I believe he's moved on me. And I'm coming to a close in a moment. I'm near finished. We know not, we don't have to live in want again. Sure we don't. Philippians 4:19. But my God should supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God has promised to supply your needs. And I tell you, I've had so many needs this last while. And I tell you, it's not easy. And you think you get one sorted, something else comes along, and it's just one after another. And the thing that amazes me, the Lord just keeps blessing us. And you might go through a time of struggling and you're praying and you're really praying hard. And then God does it. May the Lord help us to be thankful when the Lord does it. Amen. We no longer fear disease or plagues. 49. Psalms 91:10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. That's Exodus 15:26. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes we're healed. 1 Peter 2:24. It's the same scripture. He took it his own self. All our sins, all our iniquities, and all our sickness. And with his wounds, stripes, we're healed. Amen. He done it at the cross. He saves us and he heals us. 50. We no longer are pressed by problems. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. So when you have anxiety or distressed, or the devil tries to depress you, fall on the Lord. Fall completely on the Lord. Now, I've had times of pressure, I can assure you, and I just have to get away and fall on the Lord. And I like getting closed in sometimes and just falling on the Lord. Now, when you're privately falling on the Lord, you're not doing it to show nobody, it's you and the Lord. You and the Lord have your private time and you just fall on the Lord. You go by your kitchen sink when the husband's at work, and we're driving your car. But you can fall on the Lord. 51, we know that we're winners. Do you believe you're a winner tonight? Well, I'm telling you are. And there's one thing about winners. Winners never quit and quitters never win. Amen. We used to have that in our old gym years ago. But I'll tell you where that come from. That saying came from Leslie Hale. Leslie Hale was the first man that said that. Winners never quit and quitters never win. We're winners. Because you're a winner, you don't give in. You keep going. Don't take your hand off the plow and look back. Keep going. There's many scriptures, but I'm missing them because of the time. Here's my last thing tonight, 52. We know that Christ is with us to the end. And he has no end. Isn't that wonderful? He has no end. No beginning, no end. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetous. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man will say unto me. The Lord's with you tonight. The Lord's your helper. Fall on the Lord. Isn't it wonderful, you know, when we put out the different messages to different places, everybody was asking for Brother John and praying. They fell on the Lord, and the Lord answered. Now, your condition mightn't be physical in the sense what you're injured or had an accident. It's come with something completely different. Emotional, financially, something that nobody sees. But you can still fall on the Lord, and the Lord can still answer, and the Lord can still meet your need. Let's stand our feet, and we're going to pray, and our brother Gary's going to come then. And the Lord bless you, and thank you for listening tonight. Praise God. If you have a need as we pray, just lift your hand up to the Lord this evening. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can fall on the Lord. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Father, we thank you tonight that your arm's not shortened and your ear's not heavy. Lord, we've seen how you answered Hannah's quiet prayer. You're such a wonderful Savior. Lord, we bless your name tonight, that even the Lord Jesus said, I thank you, Father, before I even prayed, you heard me. Lord, you hear us tonight, even from our hearts. And we're asking you and praying tonight, and you can see the hands that's raised this evening that's responded. We're praying you'll meet every single need in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know every heart what the need is. I pray you'll meet it. And you'll answer prayer. And you'll provide and bless and undertake. We've seen tonight that you'll bless us. We've seen tonight we're winners. We've seen tonight that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. Because you've given us the blood of the Lamb and a testimony through Jesus Christ. Lord, we exalt you tonight. We speak your name and we bless your name. We pray again for the children of Israel and Israel as a whole, that you bless them and strengthen them and be with them. And we know that one day Moses and Elijah will come back and seal Israel with the seal of God, the chosen people that you know. Father, we thank you this evening that there's going to be a catching up, a rapture for the true church, for the true believer. And we're going to leave this old world behind and go to be with the Lord. Father, bless us while we're here. Help us while we're here. Thank you for the wee men and women over the years that has been faithful with a wee minibus on the garden front, on a lawn, whether it's Banbridge or Dromore, Scarver, wherever it's been. We bless you for them. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for the wee words sown into the hearts of children. And Lord, you've watered it and you've brought forth many a man of God and a woman of God over the years. We bless you for it. We thank you for it. We pray, Lord, for all your people tonight. Lord, there's many different labels, but we pray for all your true people that you will indeed bless them and be with them and strengthen them this evening. We do pray again for all the nurses and doctors. We thank you for them, and we thank you, Lord, that you are in medicine and you've given man the knowledge and all these things. And we thank you, Lord, for what we do have, and we bless you for it tonight. And we just ask you, bless and touch your people in Jesus' precious name. Father, have your way in this week and this wedding, and we just commit it all to you, and we pray for the wee minister that's coming out of retirement to do it. You'll help him and strengthen him and bless him. And may he have a word in season, and may you touch hearts and speak to lives, and may Christ be uplifted. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you as your brother Gary comes. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Well, I mean, Matthew, I've got the words for Rock of Ages, request to sing Rock of Ages. And I don't be able to play it off of, but hopefully you'll have the music for it. But, you know, it was just when Tommy mentioned about those wee meetings, it brought back some memories. You remember living in Klein Road, and there's a woman there, Joyce Walsh, and I'm sure there was others came up as well on the green there, and they had the little meetings during the summertime. And you got, obviously you got your sweets and sang songs and heard the Bible stories. But, you know, I was just thinking of a couple of the wee songs. No, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Shout it out loud and clear. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. You know, it's wonderful wee truths. I really enjoyed. I enjoyed those wee meetings. And lots of wee children came round. And there was another one. 10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4. Call upon the Saviour while you may. 3 and 2, coming through. The clouds and brighter ray. The countdown's getting lower every day. I know he's singing that as a little child, but you know, it's closer now than it was then. But he's coming, praise God, amen. I just think it's wonderful, you know, really, especially to my own heart, was saved as a child, and all them people who does that work. And you know, for the simple gospel, you know, that's the most important thing, as our pastor said, is that they're saved. You know, and if we just get our family and loved ones saved, wouldn't that be great, wonderful? That was something to rejoice about, praise God. And just trust that everybody belonging to you, all your sons, your daughters, grandchildren, nephews and nieces, trust and pray and plead the blood over them that God will indeed save them, because that's what's important, that they'll be there on the other side, praise God. Let us try and sing this hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin, the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and death. Praise God. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power, not the labors of my hands can fulfill laws demand. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears for error flow?
sing verse one again if you can. Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide.